Much. If you turn your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, we'll be reading there from the scriptures. Reading through the scriptures this year, and right now I've been in the prophets. Can everybody hear me pretty good? I don't know if I need the other mic or not, but anyway, I've been reading through the prophets and just been reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and now I'm in the book of Daniel. Actually, I'm in the book of Hosea right now, but just going through those major prophets and seeing their life and how God used them in such a mighty way kind of impressed me upon the message I'm going to be sharing today, because God spoke to them in such a mighty way, and he spoke to them through visions. And this particular story here that we're reading in 2 Kings, how God gave a vision to Elisha, the prophet, and his servant, and how he opened their eyes and that they might could see the things that God was doing all around them. And sometimes we need to have our eyes open, don't we? We need to have our spiritual eyes working, that we can see God working around us each and every day, that he is always at work. The Bible says that God is never not at work in our life. He cares for us. He cares about our every detail and every small thing or large thing in our life. God is always concerned, and he loves us that much, and he wants to be involved in every area and every aspect of our life. So this story really kind of intrigues me as it speaks about how God works and moves in such wonderful ways. But I want you to hear, as reading those major prophets and how God spoke to them and spoke to the people through the visions that God gave to them, the very purpose of that was to help them to know God, to know his greatness, to know his power, to know that God had everything in control, that God is sovereign over all things, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through with. The purpose of those visions was to help them to see that God has everything in control, that he's got everything in his hands. And no matter what, no matter what we might think or don't think, no matter how we feel or don't feel, God's still a sovereign God, and he has everything in control. But we need to have our eyes open to that, don't we? We need to have our eyes open to see that God's got our back, you know, that God is in control of all things, and that we belong to him, and how precious we are in his sight because he cares so much for us. And we just need to know that, and I hope you know that today. But here it's just a great story, and the question comes to me, does God still speak today in everyday things in our life? Does he still give us visions for everyday life and everyday situations and circumstances? And I believe, yes, he does. Before we read the scripture, I had a couple other scriptures that I just wanted to share. And in the book of Joel, it says this. It says, "And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And then, of course, we know a very popular verse in Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And so does God still speak with visions? And as we read this story, there's many messages, I think, that we can, again, get from this. And one of those is that Patrick brought that out this morning, our Sunday school lesson, is that we're always in a spiritual warfare, and that we're always battling, that we're always at war with the enemy, and his name is Satan, and that he's always out there working. And the Apostle Paul says that we battle against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. And so we always are in battle, you know, and we may not see those things around us, but they're happening, they're going around. And we need to have our eyes open as we go into the world every day, as we go out every day, that we're going to face the enemy, and we need to have our spiritual eyes and ears and nose and everything open, that God may speak directly to our hearts, and that we might sense his presence and his will, and see what he's doing and which way he is leading and guiding in our life. But this is a great story, and I'm going to pick up with verse 13 and then come back a little bit later and talk about verse 8. It says, "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I might send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is at Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was raised early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both the horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, At last, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass that when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of the Samaritans, in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wilt thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword or with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go unto thy master. And he prepared a great meal, and he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went unto their own master, so that the bands of Syria came no more unto the land of Israel. May God bless his word as we're sharing it together today. What an intriguing story. And the background of this story, the situation that they were in, was that, of course, Syria and Israel were at war with one another, and they were always plotting against one another. And the Syrian king, he was plotting against of Israel. He was plotting against the king and against their armies. But every time that he made a plan, God revealed that plan to Elijah, and Elijah would reveal that plan to the king of Israel, and it would always mess up the plans of the Syrian king. And this happened several times, and the king of Syria says, which of you is a spy that's among us? How can this be happening every time I get ready to set a trap for the king of Israel? It's always known that he seems like he always knows before it happens, and my plan fails. And finally, one of his leaders said, look, he says, king, he says, it's not us. It's a guy by the name Elisha. Elisha, yes, he's the prophet of Israel. And he God speaks to him, and everything he speaks to you, even in your bedchambers, he makes known to the king of Israel. And so he says, well, I want your guys to go and fetch him and get him, because we want to put an end to this. And so this is the story. This is the surrounding, is that the predicament that they were in was not a good one. They were surrounded by the enemy. They were surrounded by all these warriors and chariots and horses. And it was just Elijah and the prophet, you know, and the prophet Elijah and his servant. Always think of this when the servant said to Elijah, a funny story, when I was a brick mason by trade and I was laying brick in Wilmington, I had the privilege of working with a lot of different guys, but one of my favorite groups that I worked with was a group out of Pembroke and Lumberton and Laurinburg area. They were Lumbee Indians, and they were brick masons, and they were always picking on me, and I was always picking on them, you know, because we were just close friends and everything. And where Elijah's servant says, he says, at last, what shall we do? What shall we do? You know, I mean, what are we going to do here? We're surrounded by the enemy, and what in the world are we going to do? And one of the guys that I worked with, he was actually a spokesman for the Lumbee tribe, and he was telling about the story about Long Ranger and Tonto, where they were just surrounded by the enemies, you know, and Tonto and Long Ranger were sort of outnumbered, and Long Ranger looked at Tonto, he says, well, they were actually surrounded by Indians. And he says, Tonto, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Tonto looked at Long Ranger and said, what do you mean we, white man? And, and so I think of that, you know, here with Elijah's servant, you know, he was in a predicament. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, and as he saw this, and it was so frightening and overwhelming to him. and how we all have problems, don't we, in our life. We all have predicaments in our life that come up each and every day, and that sometimes are very overwhelming, and they confound us, and we just don't know what to do. We just don't know where to turn and what to do next, and we sometimes we just fiberglass by the things that happen to us day in and day out. But does God speak to us in times like that? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And God is always, as I said, God is always at work. He's never not there with us, but we just need to have our eyes open to the things of God and how he's at work all around us, and that he is in control. He is in charge. And no matter what we face, no matter what kind of predicament we find ourselves in, and they found themselves in one that was just huge. Sometimes our predicaments can cause us to get focused just on those things and not the things of God. Isn't that easy to happen to us in our life as we walk through life every day, that as we are confronted with so many different things, whether there be a death in our family or there be a sickness or there be, you know, problems that's just so overwhelming that we just don't know what to do. As this young man was talking about, even in our own family, sometimes there are just things we just don't know where to do and what to turn to next. Well, there's nothing any greater that we can do than to pray. And we sometimes let our problems overwhelm us to the point that we're just defeated, you know, because that's all we can see is the problem at hand and the predicament that we're in, and we can't see God. But God still speaks. He still works, and he wants to show us things that only can come when we're in the right relationship with him. And so we see the predicament. We all have those. But I want us to see this morning the prayer and how God works through the prayers of his children, how he works in our lives and how he reveals things to us. He reveals his will and his presence and his power and his love and all those things that we need every day in our life to have encouragement and our walk with him and facing everyday life. And so the prayer, as we look at verse 16 through 18, is a great prayer. And he answered and he says, "Fear not," talking to his servant, "that they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young men, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire around about them and about Elijah. And then when he came down to him, talking about the enemy came down to him, that Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite these people, or this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the words of Elijah. So God speaks today, and so Elijah prayed, "God, open his eyes." And that's a prayer that we all need to pray. We need to pray, "God, open my eyes. Help me to see what you're doing in this circumstance. Help me to see what you're doing in this situation that I'm in and the problems that I face. And help me to see your hand at work in my life, that you're there and that you have everything in control, that you are the sovereign Lord over anything that I will face in this life, that there's nothing that I will face in this life that doesn't first have to go through you before it comes to me, that God is sovereign." And so God opened his eyes. We need to have our eyes open, and that's what prayer does. Prayer opens our eyes to the spiritual things that are around us. Did y'all hear that? That prayer opens our eyes to the spiritual things. They're always happening. As I said earlier, the scripture says that we're in a constant battle with principalities and powers of things of the dark world that's around about us. And God wants us to be able to see what he's doing in the midst of all that. We don't always see the enemy working against us, but he's always working against us somehow, in some way, every day. But we know we have a mighty God, and God is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so God always is in control, but we need to pray. And prayer opens our eyes to the things that belong to God. Prayer opens our eyes to the things that only we can see what God is doing. God is always at work. It's amazing to me as I was thinking about this message how the prayer was God opened eyes and the prayer was God closed eyes. You know, he opened the eyes of Elijah's servant, but he closed the eyes of the enemy that they couldn't see. And so God has the power to do both, doesn't he? And just a thought that came to my mind is that spiritually, God wants to see the things that he is doing. But we can only see those spiritual things when we are in right relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the carnal cannot know the spiritual. The flesh cannot understand the things of God. And so when we're walking in the flesh and we're living in the flesh and we allow our carnality to dominate our life, we will not be able to see the spiritual things of God. We will not be able to see how God is working all around us because we're controlled by carnal eyes and not spiritual eyes. And the way we have spiritual eyes, my friends, is through prayer. We have spiritual eyes when we go to God and His Word and we know the truth of God's precious Word and God speaks to us and reveals Himself to us through His Word and how He draws us near to Him and gives us that blessed assurance that He is sovereign and He does have everything in control. And so it's through prayer that they prayed that God opened their eyes. Let me just make this other statement too as I saw this. That God opens our eyes to His salvation. God opens our eyes to His salvation. That God is a saving God and He desires to save us, to rescue us each and every day, no matter what kind of predicament we find ourselves in, no matter what kind of problem we have. But He is a God that reveals Himself and reveals His salvation. The salvation, He opened the eyes of the servants as this is the salvation of the Lord. Isn't God good? Isn't God great? Isn't God marvelous? And God's got this. And so He opens our eyes to His salvation, and He desires to for us to know that and to know Him. And then I thought, you know, when God opens our eyes, what comes next? What comes next when He opens our eyes to see what He is doing and His greatness and how He's got everything in His hands? There's a peace, my friends. There's a peace that comes in our hearts and floods our hearts. I can imagine how, you know, the servant was, he was fearful, wasn't he? At last, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, and God opened his eyes. Well, let me show you what I'm going to do. I got this in control. Can you imagine the peace that came over that man's heart? The peace that him, Elijah, felt when God opened their eyes to see that God was outnumbered anything that they could ever face in life. God was much bigger than anything that they could ever face in life. And can you imagine the peace that came? And that's what happens when we begin to pray and seek the Lord and get our eyes on Him and see the greatness of God, the salvation of the Lord. There is a peace that overwhelms us that comes when our eyes are open to the spiritual matters and the spiritual things that God has in store for us each and every day. Just one of my favorite verses, and I was sharing Wednesday night on prayer and the importance of prayer and how important that is for us to pray as individuals and as the body of Christ. And one of the statements I made is that the individual believer's spiritual life will never expand or be anything more than what their prayer life is. In other words, if you have a prayer life, if you practice poor prayer practices in your life, your spiritual life is not going to be very strong. And when the enemy comes and he attacks you, you're no match. And so we it's important that we understand that we need to pray, not only as individuals, but I said, you know, the church, the body of Christ, will never rise above in its spiritual life more than its prayer life. And folks, I'll be honest with you. If you look at our church, even on Sunday morning, but especially on Wednesday night, there's a group of people here that are here every Wednesday night because they believe in the power of prayer, and they come and they practice prayer as the body of Christ in the church. Our church will never rise above its spiritual life if we don't have a praying church. We need to be a praying church. And one of the scriptures that's always a blessing to my heart comes from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4 through 6. It says this. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God." Now, this is what I'm getting at. Remember I said the peace that just overcomes us when we get our minds off our situation, our problems, our predicaments that we may be in life, and get our eyes on the Lord and the spiritual things of God, and that God is its sovereign. And it says, when you do that, when you pray, get your eyes off yourself and your eyes on Him, it says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? And so the prayer, how important that is to have an effective prayer life in our walk. But what happens next when we pray? Verses 18 through 19 speaks of how God demonstrated his power. Not only does he reveal that to us and help us to see who he is and the greatness of God, but he works, he acts in our life. And again, verse 18 says, "And when they came down to Elijah and prayed, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite these people, or this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, This is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you unto the man whom you seek. But he is in Samaria." Now let me just say, it's about a 10-mile journey from Dothan to Samaria, maybe a little over that. And so he had to lead that army all the way from where they were at and to the city of Samaria, which was the capital of Israel. And he led them right into to the hands of their enemy, of the Syrians' enemy. But it goes on, it says, "And it came to pass that they would come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open their eyes, that they may see men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria." God works in powerful ways. And he's always, again, as I said, I cannot overemphasize that to you, that God's always at work in your life. And we have an all-powerful, an almighty God. And God demonstrates his power over and over and over again. And we won't see that if our eyes are not open to him. We won't see that if we don't have spiritual eyes to see the things of God and where he's at work in our life each and every day and how he's handling the situation, how he's got everything in his hands. We won't see that. And when we see that, there's a power that comes. I written like the peace that overwhelms us when we see the hand of God. There's a confidence that overcomes us that we feel, you know, I got this with God's help, right? That I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And there seems to be a power that we possess when we get our eyes off of ourselves, our eyes off of our situation, no matter how great and how rough that might be, and get our eyes on the Lord, there is a power that overcomes us. It's a spiritual power that God gives to us when we open our eyes to him as he reveals himself and he reveals his plan, as he reveals his character, his purposes for us in our life. There, God's at work. And then I want us to see that God works in so many wonderful ways as he wants us to see what he is doing and where he's at work in our life. He wants us to know his plan. God had a plan here. Let me say, when God revealed these visions to the major prophets in the Old Testament, God had a purpose in those visions. He wasn't just saying to Isaiah, hey, how are you doing today? Or Jeremiah, how are you doing today? Or Daniel, how are you doing today? Ezekiel, how are you doing today? Yes, he was interested in there every day. But God was revealing things to them that God was doing and about to do and was going to do as they put their faith and their trust in him. God was revealing to them who he was. But not only to them. It's important us to know that when God reveals things to us, he wants the whole world to know. He wants us to broadcast and who he is, and this is my God, and this is how great my God, and this is what God is doing in my life. And if he's done this for me, he can do this for you. And so God wants us to see his plan, that God always has a purpose in his plan, and that's to reveal himself to you and I. His purpose and his plan and his miracles that he works in our lives, the signs that he shows us in life, the visions that he gives us in life, is for the purpose to open our eyes to him, that we might see him for who he is and to love God, to put our faith and our trust in him, to surrender our all to him each and every day. God's got a plan for that. He's got a plan for you and he's got a plan for my life, but it's for a purpose that we might fulfill his will and his way in our life. And so we see that God has a plan. Verses 18 through 19, we see how God was leading. Now, I wrote down this. You know, I believe if I was a servant, my plan would have been a little bit different. Yay, God! Come get these guys! Wipe them all out right now. That might have been my prayer, you know. But that wasn't God's will, was it? God's will was to reveal himself not just to Elijah, not just to the servant, not just to the people of Israel, but God's will and purpose was to reveal himself to the people of Syria, the Sumerian army, that they might know the power of God and that we have a one true God that we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to see that. God wants us to open our eyes to his plan, that God is at work, and God always has a better plan than we have. Amen? But we cannot see that plan. We cannot see his hand unless we have the spiritual eyes. God, open my eyes that I might see. You know what I'm in. You know the circumstance I'm in. You know what I'm going through right now. Open my eyes that I might see. God will do that. God will reveal himself to you and his plan to you in your life. And then I want to just close with God's provision and how he speaks to us, he reveals things to us, and how we can see the hand of God, the provision of God, if you will, how God provides for us, and that it's by the hand of God. It's not by my hand. It's not by my might. It's not by my power. But the Bible says, but by the Spirit of the Lord. That God reveals things to us, that this is God at work in our life, and our provision, everything that we need in this life, comes from the hand of God. We can't see that and appreciate that unless we have spiritual eyes. God gets the glory. God gets the praise. God gets the thanksgiving when we enter into his house with thanksgiving in our heart, because we know that all that we have and all that we are, it comes from the Lord. And that God has a plan in all that, has a purpose in all that, that we're to make him known to others. And so God had this wonderful vision, and he showed this to them. In verse 20 it says, "And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, and that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said, At last Elijah said unto Elijah, and when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Now that's the will of man. But listen. And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Would I smite those whom thou hast taken captive with a sword and with a bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to thy master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, so that the bands of Syria came no more to the land of Israel. God provides, but we have to open our eyes to God's provision in our life. We won't see that. It'll pass us by if we don't have those spiritual eyes to see where God is at work and how he's leading and guiding and working in our life. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. And we see him demonstrating that grace and mercy even to the enemy of Israel, that God says, no, don't take their lives. Bless their lives. In other words, if God has blessed you, and if he has, say amen. God's blessed us all, hasn't he? If God has blessed us, should we not in turn to share that blessing with others? If we have our eyes open to the things of God, and we know that all that we are and all that we have comes from God, it's a gift of God, should we not be open to share that love and to share that grace and share that mercy with those around about us each and every day? That it's a gift from God. God was saying, this is my gift to you. I've come to rescue you. I have come to deliver you. And now I want you to demonstrate that by sharing that same grace and mercy to your very enemy. My friends, we need to demonstrate that every day. We need to give God thanks every day. We need to give him praise every day for his grace and mercy and how he works in and around us. That we're a God of salvation, and he offers that salvation to all that will come unto him. God is so merciful. God is so gracious, and he wants to give that love and that kindness to you. I told Gary I was going to mention him this morning in my sermon. Is it this week that the school starts, Gary? Next week. Next week. When is it? The 10th. The 10th of August, we have a Christian school that's going to be starting here in our church. And And it's going to be some wonderful things that's going to take place with that. One of those things is we're in the sanctuary this morning, and I like being in the sanctuary. So God works in wonderful ways, doesn't he, Joyce? And he provides and puts us where we have prayed for and things that we want in our life. God works. But Gary has been praying for many years about the building that we have next door, that God would use that building for his glory and for his praise and for his honor. He's been praying, he's been laboring over that, and our church has gone through some struggles. We've gone through some hard times as a result of that building. But God's got a purpose in that building, and God's going to use it in a mighty way. And Gary didn't give up on his prayer, and he asked God, open my eyes, open the eyes of others. Help others to see what you're doing. What's the purpose in all this? What is your plan in all this? Well, God has a plan, doesn't he? God has a purpose. And Gary's prayer is not that we might gain financially from this. That's not his concern. His prayer is, God, I want us to reach this community. I want us to reach out to the boys and girls and the children that's living all around us and their parents. And I want us to be able to use this building as a ministry to be able to share the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to those around about us. And so those are spiritual things, aren't they? And if we don't pray and ask God to open our eyes to those spiritual things, the physical things will overtake us. We just won't see what God is doing when we get so focused on the finances and the physical and the carnality of things that can be. Those things are important. But let me tell you, God is always, always in control and greater than anything that we'll ever face in this life. But we won't see those things. We won't see them. And Gary's gone through some challenging times personally and going through the proper people through our local government to help get the permits to be able to have the school here. And he has worked hard, and sometimes he just felt like, well, I have failed today. But God says, no, you haven't. I got this in control. And God has come through in each and every way. Isn't that wonderful to feel and to see the hand of God and how he works in such a wonderful way? This is a small thing. God desires every day in your life to reveal himself to you, to reveal his character, that he's a loving God, a holy God, a just God, a merciful God, a gracious God. God wants to reveal himself to you and his character, but also his way. God's got a way. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life and my life. And we will only see that as we open our eyes to the things of God. Are you open your eyes today? Will you open your eyes today? It comes by putting Jesus first in your life. As I said again, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father except by me, through me, in me. There's no other way. And so as we pray and ask God to reveal himself to us and his character and his ways, his plan for our life and the circumstances and the problems that we face every day, the predicaments we find ourselves that sometimes we put our own selves in, that God will open our eyes as we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. But it takes a full surrender to him. Folks, we can't walk with Jesus and stay where we are in our carnality. You cannot know the things of God with fleshly eyes or carnal eyes. You will never see the hand of God working in your life and give him the praise and the glory that he deserves if you fail to look spiritually. This is God, and he's at work. When you do that, there's a peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Would you know that today? His name is Jesus. Would you know him today? Jesus said he has come to give us his peace, not as the world giveth, but as only he can give. He is our peace. Will you trust him today? May we pray together. Father, we are so thankful that you are a living God, that you're the only God, that you're a great God. God, we are thankful that you're God and we're not. And that we can fully trust you and put our faith in you and who you are, because you're a God of greatness, of justice, of righteousness, of goodness, mercy, and kindness, that you're a God of grace, we're so thankful for who you are and that you desire to make yourself known to us every day, to make known your plans and purpose for us every day in our life. But Lord, we need help. We need to pray as Elijah prayed for the servant. Open our eyes, Lord, to you. Draw our hearts unto you this morning and help us to see what you're doing in our life. Help us to see that you love us, and help us to see, dear God, that you have everything in control, that you're the sovereign Lord, and that we can know you and know your peace. God, we come to cast all of our cares on you now. It's my prayer, Father, if there's one that's here this morning that's never had their eyes open to you, Lord Jesus, and your love for them, that you will open their eyes. Lord, only you have the power to open our eyes. Only you have the power to open the servant's eyes. And God, I pray that you will open our eyes, that you will open our eyes to see you, Lord Jesus, and that you died on the cross for us, for our sins, that if we will only put our faith and trust in you and ask you to come into our life, that, dear God, we will experience life in its fullness. And for eternity, we will know you. God, draw our hearts near to you now. Open our eyes that we might see the things that you would have each of us to know individually today, and that we will come and follow you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen and amen. Reverend Larry is going to come and lead us in our hymn of congregational hymn this morning as we sing hymn number 81, He Leadeth Me. Will you let him lead you today? Will you let him lead you into his presence, into his light, his will, purpose in your life, as we stand and sing hymn number 81. Larry?